Joining us on the WBGO Journal is Molly McDonald, the founder and executive director of the Pink Fund. The Pink Fund is a nonprofit breast cancer organization that provides 90-day non-medical cost of living expenses to breast cancer patients in active treatment for breast cancer so they can focus on healing, raising their families, and returning to the workplace. October is indeed Breast Cancer Awareness Month. First of all, Molly, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Take me back to April of 2005, where this all impacted you.
Yeah, so in March of 2005, I was transitioning between jobs. I quit one job to be part of a startup of a graphics company. I was going to be a woman-owned division of it in Detroit. And on April 1st, 2005, I flew to New York City to pitch Major League Baseball on the graphics program. We were on the short list to get the bid for all the graphics for the All-Star game that was going to be played in my hometown of Detroit that July. And I was feeling very empowered because I'd been through a financially devastating divorce 8 years earlier. I had to leave a marriage with 5 children, 4 to 13, and I had no money, no child support, no alimony. And re-entering the workforce at middle age back then was quite challenging. So I was about to get this first job with a 6-figure income and a car and insurance. And between leaving the one job and starting the other, I had my annual mammogram. And I had no family history. My annual gynecological exams were never confusing. I never had a lump or a bump. But on April 1st, on the way back to LaGuardia to get the flight home, my cell phone rang, and it was my OBGYN who delivered news that for about 42,000 women a year in this country is a death sentence. I had breast cancer. And after that, it was like, wah, wah, wah. Wasn't sure what she said. But it turned out that I had the earliest stage disease, which is ductal carcinoma in situ. And while that was unlikely to take my life, it took my livelihood. I really couldn't proceed with this next job. I didn't feel that ethically I could let these people make this investment in this Detroit operation without sharing my diagnosis. So that left me unemployed and unemployable. I was just spiraling down financially. There was just nothing that was going to get us out of this. And I thought, we're going to end up joining the ranks of the homeless. But I met all these other working women in the treatment waiting rooms who had far more aggressive disease than I, who were undergoing really toxic treatments that affected them physically, mentally, and emotionally. And they were wondering, was their treatment protocol going to outlast their 90-day FMLA leave? Were they going to lose their home? Should they pull their kids home from college? Should they liquidate, if they had one, their retirement funds? And the most egregious was, maybe I should stop treatment and go back to work. So what we've learned at the Pink Fund is about 41% of the women we surveyed in a 2017 survey indicated that they did not adhere to their treatment protocol because of all these non-medical bills that they had to pay. So anyway, back to 2005, I thought, why isn't somebody doing something about this? If I can't get help, which is the crazy part, maybe I'm supposed to give help. So together with my new awesome husband, who's known as Tom Terrific, we decided to launch an organization called the Pink Fund that would make up to 90 days of non-medical bills for essentials like housing, transportation, utilities, and insurance paid directly to patients' creditors. That way, those patients wouldn't have to be 1099, which would be another burden to them.
So a big question, Molly, would be, how'd you do it?
I believed I could. That's the crazy part. So I would tell people, and at this point, by the time we decided to do this, I'm finished with treatment, but I'm in line at the food bank to feed my children. Because my husband works in the luxury piano business, and that business had tanked. So we were juggling. So it was really that self-belief. And there's a whole biology around the business of belief. Like if you really believe you can do something, you do it. So what I did was I created a mid-century modern table to the graphic designer for our Heart and Ribbon logo. I got a donated website, and then the medical writer of the Detroit Free Press, where I had been employed, wrote a front page story on my efforts. And that kind of launched us. We also had cast up my bust the night before my surgery, knowing I was gonna lose a portion of it. And it was cast in 32 pounds of dental stone with a lucite dowel in the middle. And an artist painted it. It's beautiful. You can see it on the website with 14 karat gold leaf and battle ribbons across the chest. And I took this out. I pulled an ADT sign out of the front lawn of our home. We did not have ADT, but we slapped a octagon shaped sign on the front that said bust stop. And I started going out and doing bust stop speaking engagements about my sort of riches to rags story and my mission to help these women like myself. And so I would go to Kiwanis, Rotary, Optimist, church basements, synagogues, different, you know, any organization that wanted a free speaker. Then we also put the bus for sale on eBay. And not that we wanted to sell it, but we wanted to get, that was my dog and pony show. I'm going to put this on eBay. So 27 newspapers picked that up.
Wow.
And that's how we got started.
That's fantastic. And where are you living right now?
I live in Beverly Hills, Michigan. I call it the real Beverly Hills because life is more real here.
There you go.
One on the West Coast.
Absolutely. You know, my mother is a breast cancer survivor. She had her breast removed. She's 90 years old.
Wow.
So it's many, many years that she went through that. But it's always on her mind. It's always on her mind. And it's a special, you know, a special thing for me when I hear about anyone trying to help others. And so with the Pink Fund, obviously we wanted to reach out to you. And since this is, you know, October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, each year that goes by, what kind of feeling goes inside, Molly? I mean, do you get a different feel each year, or are you more optimistic about things than ever before, or what?
So the reason your mom has anxiety and the rest of us do is about 30% of us can experience a recurrence and the disease can become metastatic. And that's what kills women with breast cancer and men. Last spring, I had the opportunity to participate as a consumer reviewer with the Department of Defense reviewing research proposals. And while I had to sign an NDA, I learned so much about the complexity of the disease and that research is ongoing constantly. And that's what's hopeful for all of us as survivors, is that these esteemed clinicians and scientists are determined to try to find out what causes the disease, how it progresses, how they can treat it, and ultimately, how they might be able to prevent it.
You've had to deal with, as you mentioned, both men and women, but who has a story that you would like to tell us? You know, obviously your story is an incredible one, but you've had to run into other people that have had similar type of issues, similar type of stories that you've taken great satisfaction in that the Pink Fund has been able to help.
So what really keeps us going are the testimonials and thank you letters that we receive every single week. And I think the one that, there was two that resonated with me. It was a woman named Ty Weaver, and I'm allowed to use her name, in Ypsilanti, Michigan, whose husband was a police officer, and he had died a couple of years earlier of a form of cancer. And Ty was a mom of two young daughters. And when we helped her, she said that she wouldn't have been able to pay her mortgage if we hadn't helped her, that she would have lost her home. That was one that really resonated with me a lot, as because I almost lost my home. And patients are really concerned about their residence. You know, what happens if they lose their home? Then do they live with a relative or move into their car? It's very frightening to them. The other ones that we've received recently are patients who have shared with us that if we hadn't helped them, they would not have had their chemotherapy treatment. And one specifically told us that after her surgery, her mastectomy, she shared with her oncologist that she was not going to go forward with the chemo, and he asked her, why not? And she said, I can't afford to not work. I have children who depend on me. She was a single mom as well. And so she applied to the Pink Fund, and when she got the notice that we were going to make her mortgage for 3 months, she called her oncologist and scheduled the chemo.
I know people, Molly, who either are afraid or just don't want to know. They don't want to get a mammogram. They don't want to get checked. They don't even want to go to the doctors. What would you say to them?
I hear you and I see you, because it causes me great anxiety every single year. But the reality is, if we ignore our health, then we're putting ourselves and the people we love at risk. So one of the recommendations is get your mammogram on your birthday month. There's a program called Feel It on the First for a self-exam that you should perform monthly, although your breasts, you know, change all the time. Because of COVID, some of the mammograms that patients have scheduled were delayed. So some of the providers are trying to encourage people to get back in. If you're concerned about it, I think, and you can't get into your provider, call your local health department. There are lots of free services for mammograms. And I think all of us would like to pretend that we don't have a problem, right? And I have to admit, I skipped a mammogram, not in 20, but in 2019 because of anxiety. And I thought, here you are, you're running this national organization and you're just as afraid as everybody else. So you just have to do it. Just do it. Like the Nike slogan, you just do it.
With COVID and with, you know, the world having such tension and everyone being, does that bring on any more problems when it comes to breast cancer? I mean, can something come back or can something develop because of the stress that's involved in one's life?
So there's a researcher at the University of Michigan named Max Wicca, whose research is all about the breast cancer cells hiding out in the stem cells. And I'm not a scientist, so I hope I get this correct, but it's my understanding that chemotherapy does not hit the stem cells. And so, but stress can cause those cancer cells to start like leaking out and dividing. And Dr. Wicca has seen patients who had a really major life trauma a year previously who come in and they've had a recurrence of the disease. So yes, stress, COVID, we're all stressed right now. And so with COVID, what we've seen is that patients who were non-essential workers may have elected to leave the workforce because they're immunocompromised. Then those patients are onto a COBRA premium or onto the ACA in order to get coverage. The challenge for any patient now, but we're moving into the end of the year, which is actually very positive should someone receive a diagnosis because they have the opportunity to change their insurance and if, depending on their diagnosis, schedule their treatment so that their deductible will fall into the first quarter of 2021. So I think that's one of the largest challenges that people have faced. And then essential workers, some of them have also elected to opt out of working. So they're dealing with unemployment or no unemployment, which is probably dramatically less than their normal paycheck. They don't know what's going to happen with this, with a stimulus plan, if there's going to be one, and now they're in treatment for cancer and dealing with challenging insurance issues. I personally, if I can't imagine what my COBRA premium would be today with five children.
Just a couple more questions. How prevalent is it in men now? Is that statistic growing?
Well, the American Cancer Society that holds a lot of those statistics estimated in 2020 that we would have about 2,020 men diagnosed. The previous years, it was about 1,800. So it does seem to be increasing. And for male men, you know, if they feel a lump, they don't naturally think, I've got breast cancer. The problem for men is they don't have a lot of fat tissue in their breast. So the tumor can metastasize more quickly to other parts of the body. And so many of them are diagnosed at a later stage. But if a man feels any kind of change or an inverted nipple or anything, you know, he should get himself to an oncologist or get scanned right away.
Men are the worst when it comes to getting checked in anything. So
yes, I have a husband like that.
See, so people are listening to Molly McDonald right now, the founder and executive director of the Ping Fund, and they want more information or they want to contact you. How can they do that?
So if they need help, they can go to the website and click on the Get Help tab. They'll be asked to answer a few pre-qualifying questions, enter their email, and we will email them the 6-page application. The application is color-coded with icons to make it easier to fill out. And then there are also videos that they can listen to and see. So if you're a visual learner or an audio learner, that will help you fill out the application. once the application is received and it's processed and all the supporting documentation is there, they should receive notification within probably 10 to 15 days. It's certain bills would be paid. If people want to give help, there's a donate button. They can hold third-party events, or they can just simply send us a check. A lot of people don't do that. Most of our donations, 95%, come online, so you can just hit that button. And if you'd like to do that in memoriam of somebody or in celebration or in honor, we love to hear those stories. We want to know about your loved one, whether that person has passed on or not, and what motivated you to donate.
You know, it's been like a 16-year journey for Molly McDonald. And through all this, what have you learned about yourself?
So I was a one percenter. I was highly educated, private schools, very privileged. And I thought that my life was all about my education, my family of origin, and my stuff. And when I went through my divorce in 1997, all my stuff was either sold, liquidated, and gone. And what I learned was that we make a living by what we get. This is a Winston Churchill quote, but we make a life by what we give. And I learned that in losing everything that I thought had value, I found out what it really does. And that is truly a life of service to other people. It is the greatest blessing, apart from my five children, that I could have ever been given.
I would imagine your children are pretty proud of their mom.
Well, what I hope is that they too will adopt this life of service, that, you know, my life is a model for them when crises hit, as they're hitting everybody right now. You know, the question becomes, what am I supposed to do about this? And I must admit, when this was all going on in the summer of 2005, I was feeling very discouraged to the point that I thought, well, maybe my children and everybody else would be better if I wasn't around. But then I had that epiphany, that light bulb moment that went off that said, I think I'm supposed to do something about this. And now to date, we've paid out just 4.5 million bills to patients' creditors. And while we're still what I call kind of a boutique charity, we're not, you know, one of the ones with millions and millions and millions of dollars in donations yet, because we'd like to be able to expand our program. I'm very proud of the work that we've been able to do and how it has impacted patients' lives and provided them what I call redemptive hope. So we can quantify and qualify what we do all day long. We can tell you how much money, to which creditors, you know, how much for housing, how much for transportation, utilities, insurance, et cetera. What we've learned is it's that redemptive hope that keeps people going. When you love somebody by taking care of a need, and they don't even know who you are, that keeps them keeping on.
Last question then. You know, going through all this and really, you know, rising above a really almost insurmountable situation that you went through, when COVID hit, I would imagine that Molly McDonald said, I can handle this.
Well, that was the amazing part, was that personally I could handle it because I'd been through much worse, but that the organization pivoted immediately on Friday, March 13th, and we've been now able to deliver our mission seamlessly without interruption. In fact, we have not missed a single bill payment or a single meeting where a patient has been qualified. Our program manager and patient navigator have done an excellent job, as has the rest of the staff, to ensure that the people who need our help get it. And actually, they're getting it sooner because we segued from monthly meetings qualifying patients to weekly. So that really dialed down their psychosocial concerns, so they would get an email weekly, you know, rather than monthly. So that changed things too.
Molly McDonald, the founder and executive director of the Pink Fund, congratulations on what you're doing. And also, wouldn't it be nice if it just was in October that we talk about breast cancer awareness, that we talk about it year round and people realize how important it is to get tested, to get the proper treatment, to get the insurance in place, and to reach out to places like the Pink Fund. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much. This has been great.